Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today on this broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's always our delight to have you come on board and join in the dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can have that dialogue and discussion with you. We'd love to answer your questions. We'll be talking about a very serious issue today. I'm simply calling it blood on their hands, tyrants in control, tyrants in control. And we'll talk about that further in this broadcast. It's a very serious subject. Let me simply say this, out of the total number of deaths because of the Wuhan, China virus, may I postulate a suggestion that as many as half may have died as a result of the tyrants that are in control. As many as half of those deaths from the Wuhan, China virus could have been, in my most humble opinion, avoided had the tyrants not been in control. That's a very serious charge. I have evidence, I have information, I have documentation in my hand today that I believe would validate my statement and conclusions on that. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the Word of God, the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It's called the Bible. It was Jesus that said to his disciples in John 8, 31 and 32, "If you continue in my Word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth shall make you free." And then in John 14, 6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, he makes the declaratory statement, "Thy Word is truth." So what Jesus Christ is saying, ladies and gentlemen, what the Word of God is teaching us today is that the Word of God is truth. It is the source book of truth. And as I've said so often from Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, the Bible is truth. Not partial truth, some truth, or perhaps an element of truth. It is the totality of truth without any reservation. I understand that down through the corridors of time, all through the centuries, we've had those mockers and those that will defame and deny and reject the Word of God. That's all right. It does not make it any less inspired, infallible, inerrant, because someone has the feeling that somehow, some way, they're more knowledgeable than God, or that they're wiser than God. It's the truth book, ladies and gentlemen. It was George Orwell many years ago, a secularist he was, but he made this statement: "The further a society drifts from the truth, more it will hate those who speak it." And that is well spoken, well stated, because we're finding that today. And you find that, ladies and gentlemen, sown through the broadcast that we're doing in this segment. It is a matter of fact that multitudes are not telling us the truth. And we, the people, need to recognize that we have a responsibility. We're in an election cycle. We can make the determination of who we allow to remain in office as our employees, yes, those that we call the elected leaders. They're not our leaders, they're our employees. We have hired them by our vote at the ballot box. We need to fire some of them, ladies and gentlemen. I like Donald Trump's statement, "You're fired." We need to practice that at the ballot box. And perhaps at no other time in the history of America, this election cycle is one of those election cycles that will make or break United States of America as we know it today. As the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus, that made a profound statement. Let me just share that statement. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. May that be the mantra of our heart. May that be the mindset and the motivation and the mandate of our lives, that we're going to seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, defend the truth, even to death. I believe it will make a vast difference among our churches, all denominations, Christians, patriots, conservatives, if we learn, ladies and gentlemen, that factor, that we need to seek the truth and listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of homeowners' equipment like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with equipment by the names and titles of brands of Honda. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a full staff of knowledgeable men that can answer all of your questions about power backup generation equipment, as well as power lawn care and landscape equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road is located at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, the benchmark for finding that, find the gigantic flag, U.S. flag flowing, the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory flying 24-7. At the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find Tools for Time, the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any broadcast that I have felt any more passionate about than the broadcast that we're doing today. I don't know of any other broadcast that has the weight and the implications of what we're saying any more than what we're saying today. Ladies and gentlemen, in case you have forgotten, in case you have not recalled, in case you simply do not know, that it's we the people that elect and hire those in our cities, in our states, and in the Washington, D.C., those who we refer to as our political leaders are not our leaders. In fact, they are our employees. Hear me. They are employees. We elect them. We hire them. We pay their salary. We vote for them at the voting precincts and walk into the voting booths. And by the way, lest you forget, we're in the primary season. The last day of election for the primary season is tomorrow. And tomorrow, then, those candidates that have the largest votes, many of those will not face a runoff November the 3rd. Many of those will go on into office. But multitudes, ladies and gentlemen, the primary will simply launch them into the major election, which is November the 3rd, in which I believe will be the seminal determining point of where America goes, whether we go into the realm of the Marxist communist rule with Biden and Harris as the dictator in chief leading our nation, or whether we continue the freedom that we've had for 244 years. Ladies and gentlemen, our Declaration of Independence, in part, in the preamble, a portion of the preamble, goes like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers. Their just powers are derived from, if you put it that way, the consent of the governed. That means we the people. It's government of the people, for the people, and by the people, ladies and gentlemen. The people, we the people are the ones that are in charge. We the people are the ones that should tell our officials that we elect how they ought to live and what they ought to do and the laws that they should or should not pass. I'm looking at a massive article by Victor David Hansen, and I'm not going to try to belabor all of the points of it, But the headline says, Victor David Hansen says, U.S. Constitution and traditions are under attack by the Democrats. And he goes on in a lengthy discussion about the voting process and how our founding fathers utilized and put into place the Electoral College vote, and how we have across America today a movement by multitudes of the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic, Communist that are wanting to remove the Electoral College process so that they can have a slam dunk and not have to worry about anything but the left coast and the east coast to be elected into office and be in there perpetually. This article, David Hansen said, our founding fathers saw a purpose in the Electoral College. It ensured that small rural states would retain importance in national elections. Further, Hansen says, to circumvent the Constitution, Democrats have pushed the National Popular Vote Interstate Compact, an agreement among a group of states that would force state electors to vote in accordance with the national popular vote and ignore their own state's tallies. It continues with a major, major amount of information and documentation. But his statement for the headline, U.S. Constitution and traditions are under attack by the Democrats. I don't know how you could say it any more succinctly than that. I don't know how you can make it any more clear than that. But that's what we see taking place today, ladies and gentlemen. May I simply say this? If we the people are in charge, then I want to know just how is it that Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer, Adam Schiff and Nettie Nadler, as some have called him, seem to issue edicts that we the people are simply to bow and to accept without any equivocation or question. I don't know about you, but I get a little weary, ladies and gentlemen, these folks coming to the microphones, Nancy Pelosi and others, telling us what we the people want and what they feel that we the people need and how they feel that we the people ought to bow at their whims and wishes and their stratagem that's taking place to undermine and tear down and destroy our constitutional republic. Ladies and gentlemen, why is it that we have governors and mayors and city county leaders that issue executive orders, and we the people are expected to bow and to bend and simply obey? Today, across our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the destruction of our Bill of Rights given to us by God and codified in our Constitution. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we have things like total lockdown orders, where we have today, ladies and gentlemen, literally up into the millions of businesses that are still closed and hundreds and thousands of businesses that have filed bankruptcy. I'm not talking about just the mom-and-pop shops and stores and restaurants and sandwich stores and so forth. I'm not talking about just those, though that is the bulk of it. But ladies and gentlemen, the big box stores, companies that have been around for 100, 150 years that are folding up shop, filing bankruptcy, and cashing in the chips, as the gambler's terminology would put it. Why is that taking place today, ladies and gentlemen? Simply because we were lied to, deceived by the World Health Organization, Dr. Fauci, Dr. Birx, Dr. Tedros, and others. We were deceived by data out of the London Institute that said 2.2 million people are going to die if we do not shut the nation down. President Trump listened to the men in white jackets. President Trump listened to those that were supposed to be in the realm of scientific knowledge and followed that. So we have a lockdown America yet today. We shut the churches down, ladies and gentlemen. Some of the churches are still closed across America. Someone recently said, if you're a member of a church that's still closed, find one that's not closed. I think that's a pretty good directive, if you will. Pretty good insight from the one that gave that statement. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you direct through to the studios and right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion with you. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. Joe Biden calls for the mandate requiring all Americans to wear masks. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, as our precursor in our monologue, to getting to the point of where we're going today. We're talking about blood on their hands, tyrants in control. I'm giving you just a little precursor to what's brought this about, what we're seeing take place today, that causes me to be frightened and fearful of the future of America, lest we wake up, sit up, smell the coffee, and vote, and put those that we have employed out of office, cut off the paycheck, cut off their tyrannical control of our cities and states and our nation today. But part of that is saying that you need to wear a mask. Right here in Duval County, we have a mayor that's determined that the best thing for us is to all be masked up, to wear a mask, never mind the fact that it's not a state requirement. Our state governor has not required it, said he didn't think it was necessary. But yet in our city, our mayor has determined that he is smarter than all of the scientific reports. You look at the science of wearing a mask, and you'll find that it causes more respiratory harm and danger and damage for future health of the recipient, the wearer of the mask, than if you didn't wear one at all. One of the masks that's described on the OSHA website said it's like putting a chain link fence around your face to keep the pathogen out. I call it putting a chain link fence around your face to keep the bugs out. It just doesn't work. That's a pretty vivid illustration of that. But here's the article that says Biden, Joe Biden, calls the mandate requiring all Americans to wear masks. He was joined with the briefing by the newly named running mate, Kamala Harris of California. This article says, in part, presumptive Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and running mate Kamala Harris call for a nationwide mask mandate after a coronavirus briefing. Former Vice President Joe Biden on Thursday called for the nationwide mask mandate to help fight the spread of coronavirus pandemic. Every American, he said, should be wearing a mask when they're outside for the next 3 months as a minimum. In fact, some coming out of the brilliance of Washington are saying that we need to wear a mask 24/7. Even if you're at home, you need to wear a mask. Even if you are in the room with your wife, you need to wear a mask. You need to make sure that you're protecting others to wear a mask. Ladies and gentlemen, have you heard anybody that say that we need to wear a mask? Have you heard anybody say how long this should be? How long we should endure that? What is the end of these illicit, unconstitutional, illegal mandates? When do we have relief from them? Is there a projected date in front of us? Not really. Not that's codified. Not that's written. But I can tell you, after November 3rd election, after November, generally speaking, you'll not hear anything about the mandate for masks. You'll not hear anything about the mandate for social distancing. You'll not hear anything about the horrors and the dangers of the Wuhan, China COVID-19 virus. That'll all be history past. But right now, there's an attempt to overthrow, to tear down, and destroy. There's an attempt to steal the November the 3rd election by weaponizing COVID-19 to force it into that position. This is the reason, we'll talk about it further on the broadcast this week, this is the reason they're pushing for mail-in ballots on a universal scale, because they're trying to set the stage. They've been working on that. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer been working on that along with AOC and the squad. They've been working on the push for the mail-in ballots since late last year. They've been working toward this very goal of stealing a presidential election. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about our cities and our states and those that we have elected into office as our employees, as representatives. We have a constitutional republic with a representative form of government. They represent us. They're to represent we the people. They're to represent what we send them there to do in relationship to rules, regulations, and laws. Today's across our great nation, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing the destruction of our Bill of Rights. May I say, Governor Gavin Uzziah Newsom, by the way, I've given him that middle name as a result of my son, Greg, one of our four boys. Greg is with me many times on the radio broadcast. Greg has nicknamed him Uzziah. That's Governor Gavin Newsom. Nicknamed him Uzziah. Why does he do that? Because as King Uzziah in the 2 Chronicles chapter 26, verses 1 through 19, perhaps you've heard the story, perhaps you've read it. But King Uzziah was 16 years old when he took the position of king. He served for 52 years, the scripture says, in the first two verses of that unit of thought in 2 Chronicles 26. And as long as verse 5 says, and he was made to prosper, that is to have a safe journey, a good journey, be successful, as long as he listened to the priest giving him godly advice. But then the ensuing verses talk about how he became powerful, that he was able to invent and carry out great weaponry and warfare, how he had gotten to the pinnacle of success in his leadership role as king. And verse 15 says, then it's a transition, a contrast, but when he became strong, ladies and gentlemen, when he became strong, the Bible says, when he got to the point, if you can use the Youngblood paraphrased edition, when he got to the point that he felt that he was as wise as God, when he got to the point when he felt that he was ruler of the people rather than working for the people, when he got to the point of feeling that somehow, some way, I can step into the bounds of the church relationship of the ministry and tell the pastors, preachers, and those central biblicists what they ought to do, then the scripture says, verse 15 and following, he made the determination that he was more powerful, and as a result of that, he decided he was going to offer incense in the temple. Sacrifice and incense is left up to the priest. 80 priests and the chief priest, 81 total advisors, Christian, we'd call them today, spiritual advisors, religious leaders, said, King, that's not your responsibility. You don't have that authority. Don't put yourself in that position. He was wroth. He was ticked off. He was bent out of shape, the Bible says. And as a result of that, he did so anyway. Verse 18 and 19 tells us that God killed him as a result of his disobedience, as a result of stepping across the line. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has a wall of separation of church and state. It's not codified in our Constitution. And the wall of separation of church and state that's found in the second chapter, the 26th chapter of 2 Chronicles, dealing with King Uzziah, that the wall of separation of church and state is where the government cannot enter into the, anything about the the religious responsibility in a church. The church can be involved in the governmental process. The church can be involved and ought to be involved in the leadership role, ought to be involved in the policy and procedures of electing those that are in the leadership role. But the governmental officials have no authority within the bounds of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the reason it's so sad to see what is taking place with that, ladies and gentlemen. We find here where the article says, California flashpoint, churches in the Golden State are under all-out assault. And California Governor Gavin Newsom and the local officials throughout the state continue imposing unconstitutional restrictions and discriminatory policies against churches and religious institutions. The battle for religious freedom in the Golden State has reached the point we have never thought possible. Just this week, a state judge issued a temporary restraining order to prevent a church in Thousand Oaks, California, from gathering for indoor services in spite of the church complying with the safety guidelines and taking preventive measures to keep its congregation socially distanced. Yes, it's an all-out assault on religious liberties that has reached a boiling point, with the courts now abusing their power to stop people of faith from congregating in religious services, end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that is very, very telling. It's an article by Matt Staver with Liberty Counsel, the constitutional freedom-fighting law organization. This article says California Governor Gavin Newsom has released a detailed 14-page. Now listen, this is where Gavin Newsom has decided he's going to become God. This is where Gavin Newsom has decided he's going to outsmart God. This is where Gavin Newsom has decided that he is smarter than God, so he's going to rewrite the Bible for the benefit of the churches. Gavin Newsom has released a detailed 14-page directive ordering churches to drastically change their long-held religious practices and beliefs, an exercise akin to rewriting the book of Leviticus. Then it further says, the first five books of the Bible, often referred to as the Pentateuch, the Torah, or the law, established by rituals, practices, and religious laws that ancient Jews were required to follow. The law's instructions are written to prescribe how the temple must be maintained and cleaned, how the priest should function, and myriads of other practices of Israeli life. Many of these laws and instructions continue to be the form of the base of the modern Christian and Jewish religious practices. But, this article says, Governor Gavin Newsom has decided that God's word is not enough to govern churches and synagogues. Instead, Governor Gavin Newsom has moved from appointing himself king to now declaring himself to be godlike in the ability to dictate religious practices. on July the 6th in the 14-page California Public Health Orders entitled COVID-19 Industry Guidelines, places of worship and providers of religious services and cultural ceremonies, Newsom demands that places of worship replace their own religious practices with his edicts. Here's some of them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to try to read you the 14-page document. It's summarized. Remove the Bible. Governor Gavin Newsom now has given edicts and orders of what the churches in California need to do. All places of worship. Remove all Bibles and pamphlets. Remove disguise of sacred fonts. Remove or disuse, that is, sacred fonts, baptismals, and vessels of water. Instructions on how to wash religious garments. Directions on how ministers must wash and prepare themselves. The required configuration of the podium, lecterns, sanctuaries, and the church parking lot. How collection plates must be used and allowed to stand, or how they're to be cleaned. How to open and close church doors. How to greet guests and each other as coming to worship. Elimination of all singing, all chanting in the worship service, and much, much more. Gavin Newsom, Matt Staver says, Gavin Newsom even decrees how Holy Communion must be handled. Newsom's illegal and unconstitutional orders, in effect, rewrite and replace the large portions of the Bible. Newsom apparently thinks he can serve the role of both king and priest. This article further states with Matt Staver, what is perhaps most telling about Governor Newsom's order is that they are expressly directed against religious worship services. If the wording of no singing and micromanaging every aspect of worship are not bad enough, July the 13th, Newsom banned all worship for 80% of the state's population, even in private homes. Newsom initially closed the churches, calling them non-essential. Then he said they could have no more than 100 people, no matter the size of the sanctuary. Then he banned singing and chanting and ordered the details of worship. Then he banned all worship, even in private homes, from the Bible study and fellowship. And now he is trying to rewrite the Bible to tell churches how they can and cannot minister and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the tyrants in control. And it's bad enough to see them in control, trying to control the businesses, controlling the churches. But ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to talk about this in the last half of the broadcast, they're trying to control life and death. It's bad enough that they have issued edicts that abortion, murder by way of abortion, is okay. It's bad enough that in the northeastern states and the triangle states, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York, approximately 50,000 adults, seniors, were murdered in the nursing homes at the outset of COVID-19. And now, ladies and gentlemen, they are foreclosing the potentiality, the possibility, and the opportunity freely for those that get COVID-19, being able to take HQ, which is hydroxychloroquine. They're simply disavowing and not allowing physicians to do so. As a result of that, may I simply hastily say this. I believe, and it's my most humble opinion, I believe that as much as 50% of the total deaths from the Wuhan, China virus, as much as 50% is as a result of the tyrants in control. They have blood on their hands as a result of what they have done in the institution of their office and what they're doing in the laws that they're putting in place, which are illegal and unconstitutional. The tyrants are simply handing out edicts, and we the people are supposed to bow to them. As a result of that, it's killing people in America today in numbers that I never would have dreamed possible. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a move on foot today to simply prevent we the people from being in control, and yet we're representative government. This is the reason I say, and once again, we need to remember to vote and to vote with our hearts and based on what the Word of God says. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a one-minute break at the top of the hour for the news. Don't turn your dials. Hang in there. We're talking about blood on their hands, tyrants in control.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.